Let's say we went down to down in Orlando, and we did kind of one of those interviews on the street kind of thing. And we asked people, just point blank, out of the blue for them, and we just asked them the question, what do you think is the most powerful organization there is in the world? What do you think that people would just kind of naturally, if they just heard that out of the blue, what would be kind of the first inclination or the first things that would come out of their mouth? Might be something like, well, maybe the United States. The United States has a big influence, education-wise, entertainment-wise, economically, and our nearly $1 trillion budget for our defense. Maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, some people may say, like, well, what about Apple? Apple's a huge organization. It has a valuation of over $3 trillion. People all around the world have, there's devices that have mass influence over the lives of people. And we probably get some people who'd say, you know what, the most powerful organization in the world is the Illuminati group, that bunch of billionaires that get together in Monaco every year to dictate how the world is going to be operated. And there's probably all sorts of just kind of, you know, answers probably that would be in between that. But how many people do you think that just out of the blue, we ask them the question, what do you think is the most powerful and most influential organization in the world, would say, it's a no-brainer, it's the family. The family is the most powerful, influential organization ever in history. Well, the reality of it is. You know, studies have shown, God has been talking about it from the very beginning, and studies have backed up, you know, God, as if God needs to be backed up, but it's confirmed that families are incredibly and powerfully influential. In fact, the first and most influential organization in history is the family. Like I said, studies have shown it. Rebecca Coley from the University of Boston University recently did a study about how families who spend time together, they interact with each other, they enjoy one another, they play together, show that there is less sexual activity in the lives of those kids. And vice versa as well. You see families that are fragmented, absenteeism, stress, anxiety, you see an uptick in sexual activity with children. She's not the only one. There was another professor from the University of Minnesota who did a likewise kind of study. Her name was Marla Eisenberg, and she did it seeing and showing basically kind of the same thing, but with alcohol and drug abuse and whatnot. Families that are tight together, play games together, enjoy time together, you see decrease in that. The flip side of it, you see increase in that. Now, that doesn't mean that there's always outliers, right? You know, those are generalizations. That's why I love the fact that Jesus did the story of the prodigal son, because, you know, the dad was a perfect dad, but even though he did everything well, the son still wanted dad's money and took dad's money and went and spent it all on himself and whatnot. But, you know, so you see those outliers, but generally speaking, what we see is that families have massive influence. And we know that. I bet we all kind of experienced that as well. And I've seen it just in my own family's life and my own personal life. Like, you know, you can have like a 90-year-old parent. You have a 90-year-old parent, and that, even though they're 90 years old, and let's say you're like 70 and you're already kind of retired or whatnot, you have a 90-year-old parent, and that parent basically says to you, you know what? I'm incredibly disappointed in you. I'm grieved for the kind of person that you came to be. Do you think that would have an amazing effect even with a 70-year-old adult? You betcha. Or flip it the other way around. You have a 90-year-old parent who says, I am so proud of you. I can't tell you how incredibly blessed that I've been able to do life with you for these last 70 years. I love you. I'm so grateful for you. Do you think that would have an incredible impact in the life of a 70-year-old person? You bet. Why? Because God created family to be incredibly influential. Back in the 90s, a guy named Daniel Goleman wrote this, you know, really popular book called Emotional Intelligence. And in the book, he talks a lot about this guy named, what's his name? Yuri Bronfenbrenner. See, that's why it was hard to remember. He was a developmental psychologist from Cornell University. And back in the 90s, basically, Yuri was basically saying that he's looking at the American family, and in fact, the family around the world, and he's beginning to see fragmentation of it. And he began to kind of lament of what possibly could come out of that. And even Daniel Goleman in the same book talked about how, you know, looking down into the future, he's going to see a lot more mental health, isolation, anxiety, stress, worry because of this breakdown within the family. And that was 30 years ago, and we're beginning to see a lot of that. A lot of, you know, articles and things that I see is an uptick, you know, an uptick in depression, an uptick in mental health issues, an uptick in all of these things. There's a lot of reasons for it, but one of the biggest reasons is because of the fragmentation of family and the forgetting that the family is the most powerful, influential organization in the world. In fact, there was another lady, her name is Sylvia LaFaire. She wrote a book, a business book, actually, not too long ago about, you know, don't bring it to work. And her premise of the book was basically that the health of the work environment really begins with the health of the family environment. That when we have stress and anxiousness and bad things going on at home for us, we carry that into our work and it affects our productivity. That actually, when we have healthy families, we have healthy work environments. And again, what's the reason for that? It's because families are so influential. That's why I'm so grateful that so many of you are here and you want to be here, because not only do you want to grow in Christ and your relationship with Christ, but you want to have an influence. And you want to have an influence in the lives of your own children. One of the things that you've just kind of seen is that River Kids has grown like 32% this year, because a lot of y'all are like, you know what? I really want my kids to grow in the influence of Jesus Christ and the grace and the promises that God has, not only for me, but also for my children as well. And that is amazing. You know, the great abolitionist Frederick Douglass once said that it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And so when it comes to family, it's so important that, you know, we, you know, work together and leverage this incredible influence that we have in the lives of our family. And again, it's not just our kids. You have influence over your moms and dads. You have influence over your brothers and sisters. You have influence over your cousins and uncles and people like that in your family. You have that influence. And so what we're going to do over the next few weeks during this month is just really talk about that influence and how can we leverage that influence, you know, to its fullness. Now, before we kind of get into kind of the big idea here, I want to give you just a quote from the Apostle Paul when he wrote a letter to the people in Ephesus. And this is a part of the letter that if you're a parent, you're kind of like going, right on. And if you're in here and you're a student, you're going to look at this and you go, boo hiss. All right. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And this is what it says. Children, obey your parents. Yes. That's what the Bible says, kids. Because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. We love that verse as parents, do we not? Children, obey your parents. Because this is the right thing to do. And then Paul goes on in this next verse here, and he talks about, as he links this to one of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. Ephesians, he goes on, he says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. All right. So we love that. But here's the thing. When God created the Ten Commandments, he put them in a certain order for purpose. Like even this verse right here, this whole verse, you know, it comes at the end of this letter where Paul gets into some practical stuff. Do this, don't do that, think about this, don't think about that, what all that. But the first part of his letter is really about God and what God has done for us and the grace of sending his son into this world to save us and to mold us into the image of Christ, to be able to really flourish the way that we were created to flourish. And how that all ties into our relationship with God. And he talks about that like at the beginning of that letter. And then he gets into the practical stuff. Oftentimes, we like to skip that stuff and go straight to the practical stuff. Hey, just give me the list. What do I need to do? All right? And what do I not need to do? But one of the things I see throughout all of Scripture is God says, here's the deal. You don't really have an obedience problem. You have a heart problem. Okay? There is some paradigm problem. The way that you see things, understand things, that needs to shift, by which affects your heart, by which then affects the way that you live your life. For instance, again, going back to this little piece here, you know, this is Paul quoting the Ten Commandments, and this is kind of like the fifth of the Ten Commandments. The first one is, you know, God said, hey, don't have any other gods. There's no other gods but me. I'm your God. Number two, he goes and he says, the next thing he says, he said, don't have any idols. Don't have any idols. For us in our generation is, hey man, don't make money your idol, don't make pleasure your idol, don't make number one your idol, don't have any other idols. Put me number one. Number two, take me seriously. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, but take me seriously, all right? That I am the sovereign God. So take me seriously. And number four, take a Sabbath. Why? You need a time in order to come together as a family to reflect on who God is, reflect on the promises of God, and to help us to kind of reorient our distracted nature that we have. And so really, before he even says, children, obey your parents, he's basically saying, parents, here's what's important. Number one, you should model to your kids that there's no other God but God. Number two, you need a model that there are no other idols, because if you model other idols, they will love those idols. If money's your idol, your kids' idols will become money. It becoming number one is your idol, your kids, that will become their idol. Whatever your idol is, you're going to pass that down and influence into the next generation. Don't have any idols. Number three, influence them by taking me seriously, following me, trusting me, learning from me, making the most of everything that I've given you. Okay? Don't be flippant. Model that to your kids. Number four, take a time by which your kids see in you the importance of taking space to connect more deeply into community and more deeply into a relationship with God through the distractions of life called the Sabbath. All right? So parents, this is what you do, because this is how you bless your kids when your kids are told they need to obey you. Amen. They're obeying a mom and dad that puts God first as their heavenly father, as their father. God first, you know, they obey a parent who makes the Lord number one in their life and continuously flushing out idols that want to come and take over our hearts. That you continue, that they obey a parent that goes, man, that they see that really takes the Lord seriously and trusts him. And they see a parent that takes the time to reorient their life, to make sure that they spend time in worship and in community as well. Now, children, that's the context of what this verse is. When it comes to our influence, this is so important. When it comes to our influence, the number one thing that we should do is we should come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be open-handed for you to influence me. So that when I have influence, what they are getting is they are getting you. That's the foundation. It's so important as parents and family members. It's great. Go get all the books, you know, learn how to communicate to your kids and how to have the best kid by Friday. Who doesn't want to have a better kid by Friday, right? You know, all of those things are great. But none of those things can substitute for parents and family members who just seek the Lord and just desire to know him, to love him, to live for him, even in our own imperfections. And we influence the world by even how we walk out those imperfections. You know, none of us are perfect parents, but man, what a wonderful thing that we can give our kids grace because we've experienced the grace of God as imperfect parents, you know? But that's how it works. The first thing is, when we talk about influence, the most influential organization in the world, our family, is allowing God to influence you. So a little bit here going on in this letter here from Paul. Paul goes, says this, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them, all right? Fathers, you got to be careful. You got to check your heart. Because when, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times in my life, I've failed by being really angry at my kids. And I've recognized that the reason why I'm angry at them is mostly because I'm just selfish. Why? Because I'm tired. I don't want to put up with it. I just want them to change. I just want everything to be nice around the house. And so I just get mad, I just get ticked, stop it. And it's more of than so much that I want to see them flourish. It's more of just stop it, you're bothering me, right? And guess what I'm doing? I have influence to my kids when I'm doing that to them. They're learning something. They're being influenced by me when I do those things. And so our influence is so powerful. It's powerful on the good side. It's powerful on the bad side. Paul says, dads, watch out for that. And then what does he say here? Bring them up. How? with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, here's the thing that I've learned. I cannot discipline and instruct my kids when I've not allowed God to discipline and instruct me. I can't give to them what I don't have. So that's why it's so important for us when we think about influence. The first thing is it starts with us. Lord, here you go. I know that you are a good father. You're gracious. And you discipline me, and you discipline me out of your love to make me stronger, to make me see things better, by which to understand your love better, by which also to have a stronger love for other people. So I want to be the first one. If maybe I may be the only one in my family. Maybe my family doesn't care about you or anything like this, but I'll be the first one to be the change in my family's life by which just simply to say, you know what? I want you to instruct me as my father, and I want you to discipline me because I know that you're good and you're kind and you're wise. So when we think about the family, you know, and it's kind of the tagline for the next few weeks, is that, you know, it's God's plan to reach us, and the world is our family. The best way for you spiritual formation is to leverage your family to know God. You know what? What we're in right now, like this is like a classroom. But when you exit out of here, that's the laboratory. That's when you begin to practice all of this stuff. A lot of times people would say, hey man, pastor, I feel like I'm just not getting fed. Well, let me ask you the question. Are you leveraging these things to go and love, you know, crazy Uncle Harry, difficult little child Billy, or, you know, Sammy, or whoever it may be, you know? You know, is there, you know, are you leveraging these things to influence people's lives? And are you allowing God to use those things to influence you? There is nothing more that will help you to grow and make you lean into God more than doing life with a bunch of sinners, which is what family is, right? And you can't get away from them because you live with them, right? We're a sinner. We marry a sinner. Unfortunately, our spouse marries a sinner, and we have little sinners. And you know what? We didn't get to choose. You know, our parents had other little sinners called our siblings. And let me tell you, those are in the context by which we learn about the good news of the gospel, of what it means for a heavenly father to love us, who are a bunch of sinners, who perseveres with us, who's gracious to us, who loves us and disciplines us in the way that shows and expresses that love. What is it in the context of family that we learn perseverance to love in the persevering way, the way that God has loved us, and forgiveness and you know, contending for each other's hearts and reconciliation and all of these things? We learn them within the context of family. And when we leverage the things that God has given us into our family, God uses our family to reach us, to grow, right? How many of y'all have found that your family is a great source of a lot of your prayers, right? Right? There's a lot of things that God leverages our family to connect with him. I always say there's two things that God is doing. There's only two things that God's doing in your life. You know what they are? Number one, connect you into a relationship with him. And number two, to help you to become formed into the image of Christ. The way that you see things, amen, the way that you love others, the way that you serve every single day. Those are the two things. And so when things are like really hard and difficult and like, oh God, what's going on? You know, my family's driving me nuts. God, Lord, I don't know what to do. Check box number one. Sweet, you're talking to me. All right, we got box number one. And then box number two is through that, okay, as you follow me, I'm gonna leverage your family to know what it's like to love other people the way that I love you. Because we are his kids. And he shows us what that means in that. Not only that, but man, when we influence our family, and our family influences the next family, and influences the next family, what an impact that we can have. It's the way that God really kind of ordained it and instructed it. We see this all the way back at the beginning when Moses was at, his life was coming to an end. And so he has the whole Israelites together, and he kind of gives them the last hurrah, and he says, hey guys, I'm out of here. So here are the things that you need to understand and you need to know before I'm out of here. And here, we're going to look at a little piece here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. So he says to all the people here, just like it would be like us if we were all like the Israelites back then. He said, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And he goes on and he says, and you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life, right? He's harking back to, you know, kind of that picture, you know, years before that he gave them the Ten Commandments. And so he's kind of harking back to, you know, some of those pieces there, the Ten Commandments, obey your mom and dad because they're obeying the Father and their Heavenly Father. And you do that, things will go well with you. All right. So verse three, he goes on and he says, now listen closely. All right. Usually when you see in the Bible, there's certain markers in there that you should pause with. When somebody like Moses says, listen up, what should we do? We should listen up. Yeah. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you. And you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Now he's not just saying, hey, if you do what I tell you to do, then maybe I'll kind of give you some good stuff. All right, if I like you. Basically, what we see really is like, you know, we need to obey God because God is wise. He created everything to live within this beautiful ecosystem. The moment that we desire to feed off of something else rather than God, that ecosystem begins to corrupt and it begins to collapse. And so, you know, Moses is saying, listen up, this is so important because if you don't do this, what's going to happen is this whole thing that we're experiencing here, it's going to fray, okay? Because God is wise, all right? And goes on in verse 4, it says, listen, Israel, this is important. The Lord is our God. He is our numero uno. He's our Father, the Lord alone. Make him number one. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Y'all have heard that, right? So even here, he's basically saying to the crowd here, before I get into a lot of the nitty-gritty, when I begin to get to all the things you need to be doing and all that sort of stuff before I leave here, number one, God needs to be number one. He needs to be the source of your strength, the source of your purpose, the source of love and flourishment. You need to love him and develop and cultivate that relationship of love before anything else. And then he goes on, he says this in verse 6. He says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. And again, there's a reason why he does these things. Why do we do these commands? Because we love the Lord. What happens is that when we just look at commands, then it becomes do's and don'ts and things like that. It begins to rot our relationship with God and our relationship with other. We become self-righteous, religious, shame, all sorts of stuff comes into it. But when we let God be our number one relationship by which we cultivate our relationship, by which we receive his love, and we cultivate within our heart a love in return to him, we begin to see that our lives begin to conform and align to his commandments because they are good. And so verse 7, he goes on, he says, so repeat them, all right, again and again to your children. Now that's key, right? Because who is he talking to first and foremost? He's talking to moms and dads. Moms and dads, this is so important. Make God number one in your life, okay? Don't try to make him number one in the lives of your kids and him not be number one in your life because your kids, they will conform more to how you live your life than what you really tell them to do, okay? So make God number one. Grow in your relationship with him. Cultivate that love for him. Recognize the wisdom that he has in his commandments in order for our own flourishment. And then he says, this is what you do. You repeat them again and again and again to your children. You talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Why? Why do we do this all the time? We do it because everything just leaks. This is why, you know, Jesus talked about we need to abide in Christ. Because the moment that we don't abide in Christ, we look to be fed by something else and the things of God begin just to leak out of us, right? Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you who have kids How many of you have a child by which you only had to tell them one time, make your bed every day, and they did it? Anybody in here? Yeah, nobody, right? None of us were that kid, right? Yeah. None of us were that kid, right? What do our parents have to say? How many times? I had to tell you to make your bed, all right? So there's something about that. Then we just think that God just needs to tell us one thing, or we just need to remind each other, encourage each other one thing, or tell our kids one thing about God. No, God's smart. He's the heavenly parent. He knows that he has to tell us a gazillion times, and he does out of grace. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, because I know how hard-headed and hard-hearted I can be. But we are to pass that on to our next generation, repeat them again and again to your children, because it's going to leak. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. And he goes on in verse 8. So tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. So my hand feels like overkill. But how many of y'all have ever experienced this? Like, man, you're like, you go to a worship service, man, God, I feel just so connected with you. And thank you for that truth and all of that. It's just so great. And then you get in your car, and by the time you hit the road, it's like, it's like, man, it's just like gone. It's amazing to me how quickly these things happen. And guess what? God knows that those things happen to us. So he says, hey, write these things around you in order to remind you of my promises, my love, my goodness, my commands, and all of that. So let me end with this. This is kind of the big idea for day number one as we walk through everything else. And this is kind of it right here. It's important to understand that you and I, we cannot impart what we do not possess. We cannot impart what we do not possess. Okay? If we don't have a thriving relationship with the Lord, we cannot impart that to other people. It's very hard to encourage somebody to go down a path that we are not willing to go ourselves. We cannot impart what we do not possess. But here's the reality, though. We will possess, okay? Well, we will impart what we do possess. Amen. So that's the question. The question of our lives when it comes to our influence and the influence in the lives of our family is, what is it, okay? I cannot impart what I do possess, but what do I possess? Some of you may possess brokenness and hurt, woundedness. You may have had absentee family, parents, and you may see those things coming that are in you, that are coming out of you. And so you see that, and you're here because you want a different generational impact than what you have received. And I'm so grateful that you are here. For the rest of us, we may have had good parents, nice parents, and we may have just been distracted. But if we're distracted, we will impart distractedness to our own kids, because we will impart what we do possess. So here's the thing. Today's the day for us to begin to possess what we do want to impart. What I mean by that, if you're broken, and you've come from just a lot of hurt and pain from your own family, one of the things I encourage you today is to recognize that there's a good Father, a heavenly Father that wants to be your parent. In fact, he's all of our parents and wants us all to come under him and trust of a heavenly Father. Let possess him. My mean by that is to take his love, his grace, his goodness in your life, begin to learn from him. And I understand that, man, when you come from a broken background, you have trust issues, right? And we come into even a relationship with God, our Father, with trust issues. We tend to impose on him what our earthly parents are like. And when we have really hurtful parents, we tend to project that right onto him. But let me tell you, this is a father who would go through all the lengths in order to send his son into this world to die for you so you can have a relationship with him forever. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your brokenness. He knows your sins. He knows your junk. Every single one of us, he knows our junk. He knows our junk better than we do. There's stuff that we forget that he knows. But guess what? You will still, even the fact that he knows everything, you will still not find another human being on this planet who will love you more than he does. And he's the one who begins to bring the flourishment back into our lives. It's my hope for you that today would even just be that first step in saying, okay, I'll give it a shot to begin to get to know who this Heavenly Father really, truly is. For those of you and those of us who've just been distracted, you know, we've been just kind of doing our thing, making money, going and doing stuff on the weekends, just kind of floating around and stuff, and we've just been kind of distracted rather than just really kind of dialing into the things of God. Maybe today's the day where you kind of look at, and maybe it's one, you know, some of you are here as well, where you're like, you just have a child and things are going hard at home and you're like, man, I need some help. You're in the right place. This is why we come together, to encourage one another, to strengthen each other from that, and to remind each other to stay focused and faithful to a God who is wise and who loves us, who gives us the strength to continue to go and battle and contend for the hearts of the people that are in our family, and to walk through those hard and difficult moments within our own family. It's also the reason why we have the body of Christ. It's why we have small groups, because none of us are perfect, and all of us deal with hard things. And to have people around us to remind us that God is with us, God loves us, he's the one who fills us, and we're here to pray for one another and to walk each other through the dynamics of life in our families, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So wherever you may be on that kind of that spectrum of where you are with your influence in your life, that my hope is that we just start off right at the beginning, day one. All right, let's make a choice, Lord. This is the most influential organization in the world. Then help me to begin to learn, what does it even really mean to have the influence that you want me to have in the life of my family? And the first step of that, like I said, is day one, is just making that choice. Lord, influence me. Influence me. Have your way with me. Teach me. You are my Father, my Heavenly Father. Help me live my life in a way that is open-handed to you, to allow you to influence me. And there's a few practical, very practical steps that you can do to do that. Already mentioned, you know, being a small group, we partner with an amazing ministry here called Emmaus Biblical Ministries. And on August 28th, Monday night, they're starting a whole new series on just walking through the Old Testament. It's incredible. How many of y'all, raise your hand real quick, how many of y'all have ever been to any kind of Emmaus event, you know, class or anything like that? Yeah. Talk to any of these people that you see with their hands up. It is life-changing for so many people. It's a wonderful place to begin to say, you know what, I want to make a choice to be able to influence my kids. I cannot impart what I do not possess, and so I want to begin to know Scripture. I want to know the Bible. It's a wonderful thing to do that. The other thing, too, as far as just influence as well, and taking that step, maybe it's a step for your own influence, and you want to take a step towards Christ and giving your life to him and allowing God now to have the influential spot in your life. Next week, we're going to have, right after the service, we're going to do it in the next 2 weeks, just in case you're not here. We are going to have, baptism orientation, just for any of you guys who want to just talk about what does it mean to be baptized and why should I be baptized. For those of you who have teenagers who are asking questions about being baptized, or elementary school kids that want to be baptized, we're going to have conversations around that as well. It's going to be next week and the week after that, too, to be able to just kind of walk you through those things. No matter what, the thing is that we kind of like to press every single week is do something. Tell somebody a step that you want to make. Tell somebody, you know, what you want to see God do in your life when it comes to your influence in the life of your family. Tell somebody. Tell the Lord. We're going to have some prayer partners here at the Cross. Talk to them. Have them pray for you and over your family. Whatever may be going on, they are incredible encouragers to be able to pray over you. We're going to take communion. And what a beautiful thing to communion to remind us of God's investment in us together as one eternal forever family. That our Heavenly Father sent Jesus Christ, His Son, into this world to die for you and me, for the forgiveness of our sins, to bring us back into a family with Him as the center and sustainer of that beautiful family. As Father, God the Father, Jesus Christ, Son, our older brother, to bring us into a family, to make us whole, to make us strong together, communion as well. And also in the back, we have in our baskets there, we have our offering as well. You know, one of the things about the generosity of this church is that we're going to be celebrating 25 years in January. And one of the reasons why this church has had such an amazing influence in so many people's lives for the last 25 years is people's desiring to carry on the influence to that next generation, to our kids, to our students, to other people who may come through these doors. It's all done through the generosity and people who are allowing God to use them to have influence through their resources as well. So let's pray, and we'll just kind of move from here, take communion, pray, offering. Father, thank you so much for offering your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us back into a family with you, by which you are our Father, who loves us, who's gracious to us, by which we have been given an older brother by which to look up to and to learn from and to grow, to become like. And thank you so much for an extended family to find encouragement and strength in our own lives. So, Father, each one of us, wherever we are, I pray your Spirit would just kind of speak to us of what is the next step that you desire for us to have influence in the life of our family. It's in your Son's name I pray.